Hello and welcome to Editor's Picks, a special daily podcast brought to you by Nalin Mehta, the managing editor of Money Control. This is a specially curated podcast that brings together the best of the day's exclusives from the stock markets, from the corporate world, and the wider political economy from Money Control's 360-degree coverage. This voice has been generated using AI technology based on a voice clone of Money Control's managing editor, Nalin Mehta. The government's midnight move to more than double import duties on gold and silver to 15% marked an escalation in its efforts to defend the rupee and conserve foreign exchange reserves amid the West Asia crisis, which continues to strain India's external balances. In this piece, Money Control explains why the government moved so aggressively on bullion imports. Adrija Chatterjee writes that the return to a 15% gold duty regime has reopened an old debate over whether higher tariffs genuinely curb imports, given that gold imports still rose more than 30% in FY24, despite similarly steep duties. Ishan Gera reports that past trends suggest the latest duty hike could revive gold smuggling, with seizures having doubled after the previous jump in import duties in 2022. He also notes in a separate analysis that India's foreign currency assets at the end of FY26 were still sufficient to cover more than 8 months of merchandise imports, offering some buffer despite mounting pressure on the rupee. From an industry point of view, Akshara Srivastav and Aishwarya Nair report that the jewellery industry expects higher duties to dampen fresh sales. Jewellery companies are pushing consumers to trade old gold for new jewellery instead. Dipen Pradhan reports that the India Bullion and Jewelers Association expects gold demand to fall around 10%. Jay Jagannath reports that while jewelry stocks such as Titan and Kalyan Jewelers came under pressure, gold and silver ETFs, as well as gold financiers such as Muthoot Finance and Manappuram Finance, rallied sharply as higher bullion prices boosted collateral values. Despite the move to support the Indian currency, the rupee slid further to a fresh record low of 95.8 against the dollar on Monday, although Archishma Ayya reports that market participants still see the 100 per dollar mark as a medium-term risk rather than an immediate threat. Ishan Gera also writes that overseas investing, property purchases and education remittances will be affected if the government moves to tighten rules on the liberalized remittance scheme, another source of forex outflows, as the government looks for ways to limit forex outflows. And even the electric vehicle push comes with trade-offs. Ishan points out that a rapid shift to EEVs could initially raise India's import bill faster than it reduces crude dependence due to the country's reliance on imported batteries and components. Vodafone Idea received a much-needed confidence boost. Its returning non-executive chairman, Kumar Mangalam Birla, is set to lead a fresh round of capital infusion, reports Debor Shichaki and Danish Khan. The move comes at a crucial time as the telco is in talks with a consortium of banks to raise 25,000 crore rupees. The stock market cheered the move. Shares of Vodafone Idea surged 7.32%. Within Tata Trusts, governance tensions continue to surface. Debor Shichaki and Swaraj Singha Dhanjal report that multiple trustees of the Sir Ratan Tata Trust received legal notices challenging the legality of a 1989 transfer of shares of Tata Sons from a charitable trust to the late Naval H. Tata. The notice was issued by advocate Katyayani Agrawal on behalf of Sunil Tulsiram Patil Khede, who approached the Bombay High Court seeking to stop the crucial May 8 meetings, now scheduled for May 16, of the Sir Ratan Tata Trust and the Sir Dorabji Tata Trust. Patil Khede withdrew his writ petition on Wednesday, Swaraj reports. The government's quality push is also expanding. After tempered glass screens, standalone hard disk drives are now set to come under mandatory BIS safety benchmarks, IHICSO reports, as authorities tighten oversight amid rising concerns around counterfeit and low-quality electronics imports. Turning to markets, Brijesh Kumar reports that the Income Tax Appellate Tribunal has ruled that capital gains earned by, say, B-registered alternative investment funds cannot be treated as business income in a case involving 361 Core Aggressive, a Category 3 AIF. India's gaming companies continue to reinvent themselves. Nazara Technologies founder Nitish Mittersain told Vikas SN that the company plans to divest its esports and ad tech businesses to focus on the high-margin gaming business. Meanwhile, Aryaman Gupta and Chandra Shrikant report that Ronnie Screwvala, LedUp grad
has closed a 360 crore rupees internal funding round to fund its planned acquisition of An Academy and deepen investments in test prep, study abroad, enterprise skilling, and artificial intelligence. And finally, India's space ambitions are gathering pace. Ahead of Skyroot Aerospace's first orbital launch, co-founder and chief executive Pawan Kumar Chandana told Ehiksur that as much as 80% of the company's future business could come from overseas markets, including the US, Europe, and Southeast Asia. Skyroot recently raised $60 million and became India's first aerospace unicorn.
That's all for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. If you have any feedback or topics you'd like to discuss, feel free to reach out to us. Until then, stay informed and stay ahead with Money Control.